This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hunter Biden stuff, some juicy new nuggets there. Bill Jacobson joins us. There's some Supreme Court stuff we have to discuss. Chrissy Clark, Culture Wars, Matt Peterson, Stack Show tonight on I'm Right. You know, I used to sell RVs. Just, hang on, I'm going to get to the Hunter Biden stuff here in a minute. I'm going somewhere with this. But you know, I used to sell RVs. And the thing about sales, if you've ever done sales, maybe you're in sales now, is it's all about performance. It's all about the bottom line. There's no excuses. There's no anything. What are your numbers? Your numbers are right there, black and white. They're on a piece of paper. What are the numbers? Are you selling? Are you not selling? And one time, we brought in this guy. I'm going to lie about his name because maybe he watches the show for all I know. We'll call him John. We brought in John. And John had worked for, it seemed like, every RV dealership in the area. Everyone. I'm in the Houston area. It's just his resume, it was all of them. He'd been to all of them. And we bring John in, and we found out why John had been in every RV dealership in the area instead of sticking with one or two. John was not actually very good at selling RVs at all. He had a very difficult time trying to ask for the sale, that kind of thing. But John still had a job over a year later after we had hired John. It wasn't my call. Why? Everyone loved him. I'll be honest with you, I loved him. He was hilarious, fun to be around, ask about your wife, kids. He was just wonderful. There's something about charm that can get you further than other people who don't have it. And that's not fair, right? Because lots of times you're born with that, or it's your parents or influences in your life. How do you get it? Can I buy some charm? I don't know. You either have it or you don't. And I think about this when it comes to the Biden crime family. Because I do believe, remember, it's just a theory, I do believe they are going down. I think that they're about to be purged from the system. But why? Let's not be naive here and point out the crimes. Yeah, we know about the crimes, and I'll get into more details in a minute. But why purge the Bidens? They never purged the Clintons. We can't get rid of the Clintons. We have Bill Clinton for 8 years. Hillary Clinton was the likely president in two different elections. Keep that in mind. The one Barack Obama, where he beat her in the primary, she was the presumptive nominee and the presumptive president then. And then turned around and ran against Trump. And every poll said Hillary Clinton would win. She's been Secretary of State, Senator. We cannot get rid of the Clintons. But how? Why did the Clintons stick around so much longer than the Bidens? Why were the Clintons tolerated and the Bidens weren't? Well, as much as this pains me to say, because I'm not personally a big fan, Bill Clinton is one charming dude. He's infamous for it. If you go to Washington, D.C., or you deal with anyone in political circles, people will simply say, when the guy walked in a room, he made everybody feel like he was their best friend. Everyone loved it. Republicans, Democrats, all that Bill, crazy Bill. They loved him. Joe Biden is a jerk. It's not just that he's an idiot. He's a jerk. He's been a jerk forever. His dirtball son's a jerk. They're jerks. And that's why I think all this stuff is coming to light and they're going to be bounced. He's just not charming enough to stick around. What's the latest on Hunter Biden? Well, Hunter Biden knocked up a woman. Got a woman pregnant. I understand there are kids watching, so I'm going to be as delicate about this situation as humanly possible. Hunter Biden got a woman pregnant. She was a dancer. Not professional. Well, I guess actually she was very professional. Not ballet or something like that. More of a kind of a bad part of town type dancer. Makes sense. Bad part of town dancer. And he ended up getting her pregnant. And she had the baby. It's a daughter. That's Hunter Biden's daughter. That's Joe Biden's granddaughter. And it just came out now that she's settled with Hunter Biden, dropping the amount of child support payments he has to pay. And as part of the settlement, Hunter Biden has insisted and she has agreed that she cannot use the family name. Yeah, that's ugly. It's really bad. Maybe even worse than that is Joe Biden, president of the United States of America, the man with now seven grandchildren, because that baby, whether or not you like her or not, or like that she's there, is most definitely your grandchild, Joe. She's his seventh. Joe Biden is still out there, such a piece of trash, saying he has six grandchildren.
I have six grandchildren, and I'm crazy about them. I speak to them every single day. Not a joke.
Yeah. Crazy about them. Sure. Anyway, let's move on to what the system is doing to the Bidens. It's just this that's very reflective of the jerk family they are. They're just jerks. They treat everyone like crap. Hunter, though, well, this is a little deal. Here's a text from Hunter to one of the Chinese executives. Now, I want you to pause for a moment. Before I read this text from Hunter to one of the Chinese guys, sorry, Mr. Producer, let's all keep in mind that Hunter Biden is a grease fire of a human being. No real qualifications or special skills of any kind. And I'm actually not trying to be mean to him there. He's just not, he doesn't provide anything to your business. Whatever your business is, whether you pound nails for a living, whether you run a law firm, which we'll get to in a moment, no matter what you do, Hunter Biden, just for his personal problems alone, his drug issues alone, is not somebody who would really be that employable, not in any significant way. So this text I find to be very interesting. This is his text to a Chinese executive. I can make $5 million in salary from any law firm in America. If you think it's about money, it's not. The Bidens are the best at doing exactly what Chairman wants from this partnership. Please, let's not quibble over peanuts. The Bidens are the best. Plural. One, who would pay Hunter Biden $5 million for anything? He doesn't have the skills. So let's skip past the obvious part. They're not paying Hunter Biden for anything Hunter Biden can provide. They would pay Hunter Biden for things Joe Biden can provide. Joe Biden, United States Senator Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, now President Joe Biden. And the question I'm going to keep bringing up until I'm blue in the face here on I'm Right is, yes, we know about the bribery payments. We know the Biden family's dirty. We know they're getting money from this and that and the other. And we get all that. But what are they giving in return? Because they're giving something. $5 million, no matter how much money you have, is real money. And you don't write a $5 million, $10 million check to anybody unless you're getting something in return. And no one wants to ask that question. What are they getting in return? Which brings us to this IRS whistleblower and my theory. You see, what we know now is Hunter Biden takes his money from Burisma and he launders it through one of his businesses, business partners, so he doesn't have to pay taxes on it. So it's not even just that they're dirty and they take bribes. They can't even be bothered to pay taxes on the bribes that they take in. This is what it is. Which brings us to a Mr. Gary Shapley. Now, I need to say something. And it's important. You know, I'm not big on qualifiers, but I do need to say this, because oftentimes I will know something. I'll get a little tip or inside baseball. And when that comes along, I tell you I know something. And then sometimes I just have a theory. And I need to be crystal clear about this out of fairness to Gary Shapley. This is only a theory. What I'm about to say is purely a theory. And this is my theory. Gary Shapley, this IRS whistleblower, out there dropping dimes on the Bidens all over the place for all their malfeasance. Isn't that a great word? It's just naturally assumed that he's either a good citizen or a Republican or something like that. I don't believe Republicans are trying to take out the Bidens. They're not smart enough to do that. I don't believe the Republicans would take out the Bidens. They don't have the guts to actually do that. Republicans don't have the guts to actually take out Democrats politically. Who took out Andrew Cuomo in New York? Was it Republicans for all those COVID deaths? No, it was Democrats. Democrats are the ones who have the guts and will to take out people who are in their way. So while I praise a lot of these whistleblowers, especially the FBI ones, I'm not so sure that this IRS whistleblower is working on behalf of you and I and the people. I think Democrats, I think the system, just a theory. I think the system's behind this guy.
If this was any other person, they likely would have already served their sentence. I documented exactly what happened, and it doesn't seem to match what the Attorney General or the U.S. Attorney are saying today. There were certain investigative steps that we weren't allowed to take that could have led us to President Biden.
And you wanted to take them?
We needed to take them.
And you weren't allowed to take them?
That's correct.
Interesting, isn't it? You know what else is interesting? Maybe you think my theory doesn't hold any water, and maybe it doesn't. Remember, it's just theory. Well, the New York Times is probably the most evil media publication in the United States of America. Remember, this is the New York Times that had writers covering for Stalin as he was starving millions of Ukrainians. Maybe even more egregious, this is the New York Times that kept the number 4 best-selling book in the United States of America off the New York Times bestseller list, which was 15 books. The New York Times is an evil, communist, treasonous organization that has done nothing but harm this country since its inception. The New York Times has rushed forward to verify some of all this IRS stuff. Why would they do that? The Republican New York Times? Hardly. Why are reporters now regularly, not once in a while, this isn't a one-off, reporters are now regularly harassing Biden and Biden's people about the Hunter Biden stuff? This isn't how these apparatchiks normally act.
President Biden, how involved were you in your son's Chinese shakedown text message? Were you sitting there? Were you involved?
No. Getting testy, isn't he? You've seen Corinne Diversity Hire get testy. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting what's happening and who seems to be lining up against Joe. TikTok, the Jesse Kelly theory that we'll see Gavin Newsom soon. How long have I been telling you that? What's it been, a year or more? Been telling you it's coming. TikTok. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Something that makes me uncomfortable is the right pointing out hypocrisy as if that's somehow an effective strategy. My next guest, Matt Peterson, it makes him uncomfortable too. He thinks we have a different way, a better way we can go about this, and I happen to agree. So we're going to talk to Matt about that next. Now, something else that should make you uncomfortable is not having emergency food in your home. And no, I'm not talking about a Chinese invasion, an alien invasion, the apocalypse. I don't know about those things. I don't know about that, but I do know this. Disaster strikes in many, many, many different ways. And we've enjoyed a life where the grocery store was always open for a long time in this country, so we think that's always going to be the case, but the history of the world says that's not always going to be the case. My Patriot Supply sells three-month food kits, and I've told you to get those many, many, many times, and I understand that financially some people simply can't make that happen. I get that. That's why they also sell four-week food kits on a discount right now, by the way. If you go to preparewithjessekelly.com, get a four-week emergency food kit for everyone who lives in your home. 2,000 calories a day. Keep you alive. Preparewithjessekelly.com, all right? I'll be back.
The hypocrisy of what I'm about to see. The hypocrisy of what you think you will defend.
This is not science. This is hypocrisy.
If you know this and nobody looks into this, it reeks of the hypocrisy at the FBI and the Department of Justice.
Hypocrisy. You know what I could go through right now? I could just go through page after page after page of article after article of hypocrisy. Could you imagine if Republicans did that? Hypocrisy. And this is why I'm not a conservative. I am an anti-communist. Because this is all conservatism has been for my entire life. Taking hypocrisy, which would bother you, and trying to put your values on the communists and acting as if they give a crap about being hypocrites. They love being hypocrites. They love rubbing it in your face. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, Matt Peterson, Claremont Institute. Matt, this is all the right has been for my 41 years on the planet, man, and I can't stand it. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm only a few years more than that on the planet, and it's all I've seen as well. And I think the only good news is that, here in the late Republic, a lot of us are sick and tired of it. And, you know, it just doesn't matter, right? The problem is saying these things over and over again is not doing what needs to get done. It's meaningless.
What does need to get done?
A lot. First, we need to start with reframing the issue so we're not talking about hypocrisy at all, because it's not hypocrisy. They're just using power in order to get things done. When we look at what needs to get done, what I am really passionate about is a commercial cultural movement that moves in the opposite direction of the woke communists. And what I mean by that is something that both attacks them using existing law that's on the books, that reforms laws in order to eradicate a lot of this nonsense and to make it painful for them to operate. And then on the positive side, we actually need to know what winning looks like. Like, what tangibly are we fighting for? What way of life do we want to see instantiated in real flesh and blood in the next 10, 20 years? And for that, you need, to get investors together to buy companies, to become competitors to the woke nonsense. I'd love to see a clothing company, for instance, that, unlike Patagonia, is proud to be American and starts to compete in the same. They start to draw blood, in other words, from these woke companies. And this commercial cultural movement is really what's needed, because that will drive the politics, in my opinion.
Why does that drive the politics? I agree with you, but I think a lot of times people have a hard time separating that or understanding why this corporate filth is so damaging to the country. I argue it's the second most damaging thing the communists took over, besides the education system. When they took over that corporate world, they really put us in a cultural bind.
Yeah, I think it's because that in a Republican form of government, or at least one that attempts to be a Republican, public opinion is everything. And so when you talk about commerce, you're talking about culture, because everything in our culture is commercial, right? I mean, it runs such that these corporations have to make money, and they help develop and shape with products and services and advertisements and everything else the way we live our lives. And so by co-opting them from the top, they've really taken control over everything, because they will control public opinion and what's acceptable and what's not. And so we live in a really a Soviet situation, right, in which many people in their places of work cannot say what they actually believe, and the company knows that the commissar, who's, you know, really there from the government in HR, is going to enforce their will upon the company and therefore upon the rest of the country. And here's where, you know, we have to get smart about how to attack it. You have to attack them, you know, directly, politics, with law, antitrust legislation for these large behemoths that are stopping competition and running roughshod over all manner of medium-sized businesses, for instance. The civil rights laws, which, you know, sadly have been used to force all businesses to take into account race and sexual identity. You know, they've used those laws and abused them. You got to directly attack those things politically. I'm not here to dispute that. But until we have our own commercial cultural movement of what we want, of what we find desirable, right? A broad-based movement that's looking about how we think we ought to live our lives, and our revenue goes away from these woke companies and into this other ecosystem, we will continue to lose.
Blue America. I regularly encourage people to get out of Blue America, not because I don't love New York City, not because I don't love California. I love both places. I love Oregon. You know, I did a lot. I just have had the blast in these places, but because of the horrors, not only that are there, but that are coming for these places, Matt. And I don't think people have accepted and understood this quite yet. They're taking people's children out of their homes already in California if they don't affirm their gender. And this is not the end. This is not the final form, because there is no final form of communism. It gets worse from here, and I don't think many Americans understand what's coming.
Yeah, look, I agree, and I think, you know, I live this, right? I mean, I moved from Pasadena, California to Dallas 2 years ago, February, and along with many other people that I know, in fact. And I followed this issue closely. I'm part of, you know, fostering different thought on this and action. Look, the bottom line is, if you're in a one-party system where it can't be changed, there might be reasons to stay that are, you know, human, of course, you have family, et cetera, but you can't count on those places ever changing or getting better, because structurally, I mean, take it from someone who studied political science. Okay, actually, don't trust anyone who studied anything in this society. But you know, structurally, if you look at what they are, you just say, like, what kind of government is this? I mean, they're one-party states that are centralized control. They're not going to change anytime soon. And the trajectory that they're on is dangerous. I think a lot of people are seeing it. There's no way off that crazy train. And so what I say is, not to divide, but to save America, we need people to sort. That was always the classic American solution. You need to go to red states where you can actually, you know, fight the communists and win. I've done it. I've seen it done. You go to a red state, it's not perfect, but you can actually fight and win. You develop new models, new ways of leading forward. And if you consolidate power and set up models in those states, you could potentially retake, you know, the rest of the country. So I just think you can't, don't lie to yourself if you live in blue state America. Of course, in some areas in blue state America, there are, you know, red counties, and your life might be great. I get it. This is fine. But realize you do live in, you know, some variant of North Korea, and you have to acknowledge that fact. You're something of a missionary. You're in a place where increasingly they're going to want to attack and persecute you.
Yeah, that's a fact. Matt, tell me about Up From Conservatism. I love this title, Revitalizing the Right After a Generation of Decay. Tell me about this book.
Well, it's we have Arthur Millick to thank for it, my colleague at Claremont, who runs our DC center. And really what he does there is a little different than a lot of the useless conservatives that we were talking about. This book, revolutionary. Everything in it from the title on out is provocative, and in different areas of policy, you'll find various thinkers and doers talking about what should be done differently. You know, exactly the opposite of the sort of thing we're talking about earlier, not just sitting around and calling the left hypocrites, but what really needs to be done, and how should we think radically differently in a bold new way on a number of fronts if we're going to move forward and actually win this thing.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you, brother. Keep going. You know I am rooting for you, in your corner big time.
Hey, thank you. Love to be on.
Would you like to get motivated? Maybe you're beaten down right now. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm not into it anymore, Jesse. I'm tired. Okay? I want you to buckle up for next segment. I want you to buckle up for having your eyes, my eyes, open to exactly what we're up against, exactly what the stakes of the game are. We always have to keep in mind the stakes of the game, don't we? Talk about that in a minute. Before we talk about that, let's talk about this. Let's talk about working your whole life, putting money in your 401k, IRA, whatever it is. And then when you get towards the end, bubble pops. Money goes away. Most of it. How devastating would that be to have this goal set in mind? I'm going to retire. We're finally going to travel. We're going to buy an RV. And then through no fault of your own, it's all gone, or most of it's gone. When I tell you to get gold and silver in your 401k or IRA, I tell you that because it will protect your 401k and IRA. It's a portfolio protection plan. When I tell you to get physical gold or silver coins in your hands, it's protecting yourself. Oxford Gold handles all of this for you, and they do it all easily. It's they make it so painless, which is good, because I don't know how to do any of that stuff. They do. I send my family there for a reason. My dad goes there. My friends. This is where I send people. Call them. Tell them I told you to call. Call 833-995-GOLD and let them take care of you. All right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
When she made her pronouncement that she was trans, she was severely depressed. I got into all of her social media. I spent a week going through everything on her phone and seeing what she was exposed to. It was just so perverted.
Joining me now, Chrissy Clark, host of The Reaction on The Daily Caller, and she co-produced this documentary you need to go watch called Groomed, How They Get Your Kids. Okay, Chrissy, I've got two boys of my own. What are they trying to do to get my kids?
Well, they're using social media apps that you don't even realize they're using. The mom that you just heard talking, her name is Erin Friday, and her daughter identified as a transgender boy for, I believe, about a year, year and a half. And she was saying that her child was using very unsuspecting means to go around her. So typically you think, oh, my child's on TikTok, right? And that's problematic. But she didn't just have a TikTok. She had multiple TikTok accounts so that she could hide her TikTok accounts that were a little bit more promiscuous from her mother. On top of that, she was using Google Docs to have communications with her friends who were partaking in this transgender mythology with her. So these are very unsuspecting measures, including anime. Jesse, that's got to be the weirdest one, is they use anime to talk to each other about transgender issues. It is very intense. It is very deeply wound, and it's not as simple as just checking your child's social media.
Chrissy, I know you realize this, but I'm old. I don't understand how you can use weird foreign cartoons to talk to each other. How do they do that?
Yeah, so really what it is anime becomes a very central part of these groups. So they'll use these Google Docs to talk about the anime, and then as they get introduced to this anime, they're introduced to it's overt sexualization in the graphics. And so they'll talk about it and discuss it. And the girls will then go out there and find other means of anime. It's called hentai, and it's a little bit more graphic in nudity. It'll talk about cousin on cousin sexually explicit things that I don't want to say on the air. Yes, and it's gross. But this is what they watch, and then they send videos of it to each other, and it essentially provides pornography for kids.
Oh, that's just lovely. What happened to Erin Friday?
Erin is a wonderful mom who really stood up for her daughter. Her daughter has since desisted from her transgender identity, and Erin's out there doing media right now. She's a great follow if you haven't found her already. She's really been pushing against this whole transgender identity and ideology in California. And I think one of the coolest parts about Erin is that she's a Democrat. She's a lifelong registered Democrat, and she has no chance of doing that. But she's just really interested in letting everybody know that the transgender identity and the movement of it does not have to be exclusive to conservatives or Republicans, but Democrats should get on board on exposing the lies that transgender identity showcases to our kids.
Amen. Where can people get this documentary, Chrissy? I want people to buy it.
Yes, it's $1. Watchgroomed.com. So watch, like, watch with your eyes, and groomed.com. It'll take you right to the page. You'll sign up. It's just $1 to watch. And I promise you, it is worth your time to understand what is going on with kids right now.
$1 to watch it to protect your kids. What's the website again?
Watchgroomed.com.
Watchgroomed.com. All right, Chrissy. Appreciate you. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you.
All right. We got Supreme Court stuff, and that stuff's way beyond me. So we have to go talk to an expert about it, and we will. Important Supreme Court stuff. Hang on for that. It's also important that you don't keep paying for a timeshare you don't use anymore. It is. And I know what you're probably saying. Jesse, I tried to get out. I don't need to be lectured. They told me I can't. They even told me to go to the part of the contract that told me I have to pay forever. That's what they do. They always point to the little subsection, page 5, paragraph B. Sorry, you're in for life. They all do it. Lone Star Transfer caught onto this scam a long time ago. This is a family company. Our people. They take care of families. Over 18,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently have gotten out thanks to Lone Star Transfer. You are not stuck. They'll put it in writing. They'll give you a time frame in writing. We'll get you out. Call 844-310-2646. You are not stuck. 844-310-2646. All right? All right, Supreme Court stuff. Next. I hate legal stuff. Not because it's not important. It's pretty much the most important thing. It's because it's way beyond me. I don't even understand what half these words mean. I never understand about the cases. So we have to go out and find experts, and you can't find anybody better than Bill Jacobson, founder of the outstanding legal insurrection, and of course, Cornell University law professor. Bill, what is Moore versus Harper, and what am I supposed to care about this for?
Well, you should care about it because it was a big controversy, particularly in 2020, which is to what extent can judges alter or interfere with the rules that the legislature has set for elections, federal elections? Because the Constitution says that the legislature of every state makes those rules. And as we saw in Pennsylvania and many other states, a lot of those rules were changed. Now, Pennsylvania wasn't at stake before the Supreme Court. It was North Carolina redistricting. But that was the issue. To what extent can the judiciary get involved? And surprise, surprise, a majority of judges said, yes, judges can get involved. That judges traditionally, have had a say on whether laws comport with the Constitution, interpreting laws, and that is no different when it comes to election laws. So it's a huge point which may or may not embolden other state courts to get involved.
Okay, is this good? Is it bad? Okay, clearly puts more power in the hands of just judges than state legislatures. And I'll tell you, Bill, on the surface, I don't know how I feel about that. Should I be happy?
Well, I'm not sure. I think this is one of those things where I think the Constitution was pretty clear that it's the legislature of the state that sets the rules. So I don't know, this is a deviation from that. I think whether people are happy or not is going to depend on which party or which ideology controls the state court. And that's the unfortunate reality here. So in North Carolina, this case before the Supreme Court is a perfect example. Many of the justices said we shouldn't even be deciding this because what happened is the North Carolina ruling came from a Democrat majority state Supreme Court. it then flipped to a Republican majority, which said, we're going to do a new map. So the map that was before the Supreme Court, the issue no longer really existed. So this is a perfect example. Whether you like judges getting involved or not, from a political point of view, is going to depend on who controls the state court. And so the left was thrilled at this, but they're not going to be so thrilled when the new Republican North Carolina Supreme Court issues rulings that may not be favorable to Democrats in terms of how elections are run. So I think this is something where the court shouldn't have even decided it. I think it was Justice Thomas who wrote the main dissent, joined, I think it was, by Alito and Gorsuch, and basically said, we shouldn't even be deciding this. We're talking about something that no longer exists, which is a decision by a court under a different map. We should just kick this thing out of here. And I think that's what they should have done. They should have not decided it, because now it's really a mishmash. We don't know what the guiding principle is going forward. There's no standard set forth in the opinion. There's no guidance as to how far state courts can go. So this is something where they should have just left bad enough alone and waited for the right case to make that decision.
Speaking of something that's ugly and confusing, redistricting, state districting, how they draw these lines, especially the congressional map lines. Every time I look at one of these gerrymandered districts, and both sides do it, where you have some weird sliver here and then a cutout there, and it's just obvious they drew it so that Democrat or Republican could stay in office forever, I always say to myself the same lame question you've probably heard 1,000 times. How's that legal? How is it legal that this stuff goes on? It makes us look like such a banana republic.
Well, yeah, I mean, in New York State's a perfect example. In New York State, spend part of the year in Ithaca. When I first joined Cornell, it literally was a district that looked like a snake. It went from college town to college town in upstate New York to keep Maurice Hinchey, an extreme far left congressman, in office. It then got redistricted judicially and actually had some fair districts. This time, the Democrats in the state legislature, which determines the districts, got very piggish, and they basically eliminated 4 to 5 Republican districts by slicing and dicing, and they ended up getting overturned by the state Supreme Court. So this is terrible, but state legislatures determine these districts. And, you know, it is subject to review, but that's our system, is that it's up to the legislature of every state. Now, some states appoint commissions to do it. Of course, that sounds nice and neutral, but it's not always so neutral. But, you know, it's really a mess. It is a mess.
Yeah, I've seen that firsthand. Well, no, we have a commission. Oh, yeah, I know exactly how that goes. All right, tell me about Counterman versus Colorado. What is it?
Yeah, that had to do with something called true threats. It was a First Amendment case, which is essentially cyber stalking. It was repeatedly, hundreds, if not thousands of times, sending some woman harassing messages, which unfortunately takes place a lot on the internet. And the question for the court was, the Colorado statute required that these be objectively threatening messages to prosecute somebody. And the Supreme Court said, by a majority, I think it was 6-3, Supreme, or 7-2, said that in order to prosecute somebody for that, you have to not only show that it is objectively threatening to the recipient, but that the sender had some reason to know that it would be threatening. And so that was the standard. And of course, a lot of people are upset with that, because now you have to prove some sort of subjective intent by the sender. And they did say that recklessness would be enough, but they've made it more difficult to prosecute this sort of cyber stalking, cyber harassment, because two things now have to be proved: that a reasonable person would consider the messages threatening, and that the sender had reason to believe that these were threats.
What's this affirmative action thing that's coming soon?
Well, it could come tomorrow morning. It's going to come either tomorrow morning or Friday morning, because that's the end of the term. The Supreme Court ends its term, barring truly exceptional circumstances, on June 30th of each year, and there's no reason to think we'll go beyond it. And so that is a case involving Harvard University and the University of North Carolina giving racial preferences to blacks for admission. to the detriment, mostly, of Asian students, students of Asian background. And particularly in the Harvard case, the best proof that the Asian students had was the disparity in SAT scores. So you could be a black student in the bottom decile of SAT scores had a better chance of getting in than an Asian student in the top decile of SAT scores. So there was at least that objective measurement. And the question is, can schools continue to discriminate on the basis of race for the purpose of achieving diversity? 20 years ago, the Supreme Court said, yes, they can within certain limitations. But the Supreme Court also said, we don't expect this to go on forever. This is essentially part of a transition from a segregated society to a fully integrated society. And we don't expect this to be more than 25 years. Well, you know what? We're already at 20 of those 25 years. And that was a hot topic of conversation during the oral arguments with the judges, I think particularly Chief Justice John Roberts, who's been skeptical of affirmative action from a legal point of view, saying, what is the end point here? Are we going to do this forever? And the lawyers for Harvard and UNC couldn't tell us when this was going to stop. So that is the issue. Can universities use so-called race-conscious factors in seeking to get a diverse class? I think everybody just about expects that to be thrown out for the court to say, we weren't happy when we did this and let you do this 20 years ago. We essentially gave higher education an exception to the rule, but it's 20 years later, we're not going to allow this to go on anymore. So at least in theory, there should be no more racial preferences in admission.
Good. Let's hope that goes away. Bill, thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, lighten the mood next. For vegans, stop. Just stay with me for a second. Before we get to lighten the mood, let's get to Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I've had air purifiers my entire life. That's not true. Since I was 10. We moved to Montana when I was 10. All of a sudden, I got allergies. My eyes itch. It's awful. So I've always had them. You know, the big towers that sit in the room, sound like an airplane. And then a little while ago, a couple years ago, I had a buddy tell me about Eden Pure Thunderstorm. He said, you got to try one. And I'll be honest, when they first shipped it to me, I thought he was kidding. It's just this little black box that doesn't even hardly make any noise. It's like a miracle. You'd never have to replace the filter in these things ever. And it just cleans your air constantly. Viruses, mold, constantly cleaning your air. I'm allergy free. Our family is healthier. Go try it. Three Eden Pure Thunderstorms. They sell three packs now. I own like nine of them. They sell three of these, $200 off when you go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. All right? EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. All right. It's time to lighten the mood, vegans. Before we do that, let's do this real quick. Let's talk about pain. Aches and pains. Just happens. Look, you don't stay 15 forever where you can cut your hand and then just watch it heal in front of your eyes. You wake up in the morning, now your shoulder hurts. Knee hurts. The ankle's back. It happens. So what do? I know what I've always done. You reach for a bottle of ibuprofen. Terrible for you. Terrible for your liver. Try something different. Try Revolutionary Relief. They have a topical, just roll it right on, and they have gel caps for those internal aches and pains you can't quite pinpoint, and it's not going to destroy your liver. Go to revrelief.com/free because they want to give it to you free for a month. You want to talk about confidence in your product? revrelief.com/free. All right? John Mountain, what a name, celebrity chef. Apparently the man has had it with the vegans.
Fired up and fed up.
I'm done with vegans. I'm absolutely done with vegans.
Celebrity chef John Mountain says vegans are no longer welcome at his Fire restaurant. The controversial ban came after a disgruntled diner made a complaint about the lack of vegan options on the menu, charged $32 for vegetables. He accepted the complaint, not the personal attack.
It's my shortcoming of a chef and I'm not quite good enough.
Chef Mountain making the snap decision. Sadly, all vegans are now banned from Fire for mental health reasons. We thank you for your understanding. Customers biting back. How can you call yourself a chef if you can't prepare a meal for a vegan? I'm very disappointed to see the stance taken. It reads very discriminatory. But others said, your restaurant, you cook what you love to cook. Unfortunately, you can't please everyone.
All vegans are banned. End of. No more. Never again. God help them.
Chef John Mountain says it's not possible to cater for everyone all of the time, and it's not a vegan restaurant, so vegan customers can go elsewhere.
Please go find another kebab shop somewhere that's happy to give you that plastic rubbish that you enjoy to eat so much. Go and enjoy your life somewhere else.
I love this guy. All right, let's see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.